All right, those are the announcements. Door knocking Sunday, and then a week from Tuesday, ladies' fellowship. And tonight we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Talk about things created by Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. The verse is not complicated, but in studying this and comparing scripture with scripture and all that, I saw something that I've never seen put together before. It doesn't mean it hadn't been, but I've just never seen it. Colossians 1:16. This is about Jesus Christ being the Creator. And just very, very briefly, you guys understand, if you believe the Bible doesn't leave room for anyone to believe that Jesus Christ is a moral teacher or just a philosopher or anything like that. The Bible tells you Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ is also the Creator of everything you see. And when the Creator showed up in a body, His name is Jesus Christ. Before that, in heaven, His name was the Word of God, capital W, we'll see that. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 16, for by Him, that's Jesus Christ, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. We won't deal with the for Him part tonight, but just the fact that all things, He says twice in this verse, all things were created by Him. And let's pray, and I'm going to talk to you about some things that Jesus Christ created, and maybe some things you didn't think about or realize He created, but let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You so much for these words. Thank You for the rain. Thank You for this opportunity tonight. Thank You for salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray You would feed Your flock tonight. Pray You'd help us, those that are out, sick, traveling, whatever the case may be. I pray that You would help them, and those that are sick particularly. I pray that, Barry's PET scan, I heard it's got some pretty good, decent news, and I pray that it is good news, that it's just that one spot there, and I pray the doctors could assess it right and give them wisdom about all that and how to further the treatment there. Thank You again for everybody here tonight. I pray You'd bless each soul for being here. I pray You'd help me say what You once said, and again, that everybody here would get what they need from You. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, one of the themes of the letter here, Colossians, is the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And the preeminence is just that Jesus Christ is above everything, and everything is under Him. And that's displayed and explained several ways. He's preeminent among the children of God. He's preeminent in forgiveness, preeminent in the fullness of the Godhead that was in His body. Preeminent as the head of the church above all things. And this particular verse, verse 16, Colossians 1:16, describes Him as preeminent as the Creator of all things. And that little word in verse 16, by Him, by, that's the word, that just describes Jesus Christ as the instrument of anything that you've seen, and even things you've never seen, things in heaven, things in earth, just like the verse says, verse 16 there, everything that has been created has been created by Jesus Christ. That puts Jesus Christ on a whole nother level than just, you know, he came and taught some good things and things like that. He is the creator of all things. That little two-letter word, by, describes how the mode of accomplishing this creation was done by Jesus Christ. You know, you might say, how are you getting home? We're getting home by car or by driving. By that word just describes the mode or the how of something. The verse really is self-explanatory. Verse 16, by him were all things created in heaven and earth, visible, invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities, powers. All things were created by him. It's self-explanatory that Jesus Christ is the creator and the architect of and the source of all life. You think about man doesn't create anything. He takes things that are already created, and then he fashions them. He makes tools. He makes other things out of them. Makes things that are useful to him. But for instance, you need, and I need. We got rain coming. You and I need water. We didn't create water, but we put it to use. We can use it for electricity. We use it to drink water on a regular basis. But it's not something that we create. It's just something we use. And you find out man is just a steward of everything God created. And he doesn't create things. He takes things that are already created and he oversees them. And he may... take something and fashion something else with the tools that are already there. It's like that joke I tell you guys, but where the scientists and God got together and they were going to have this contest about who was going to make the first man or something, you know, to that effect. And so the scientists get together and they're getting their blueprints ready and all that stuff, and God's over here and the gun fires off and they get started making man, and God says, hang on a second, you know, as the scientists are all gathering up their dirt and trying to put it together, and God's fashioning with his dirt and all that, and as the scientists gather up their dirt, the Lord says, hang on a second, get your own dirt. Meaning you're going to have to start with something I made. And that's what man is. He's a steward of everything that's created. He didn't create anything, but he's harnessed things like electricity and water and all kinds of stuff, just harnessed it for his own use. And he's really, when it comes to inventing things with materials that are already made, pretty ingenious sometimes. And that's true. It's true both physically that he doesn't create, man doesn't create anything, and it's true spiritually. Man doesn't create anything. He's the steward of those things. He's a steward of his soul. You're a steward of his spirit. You're a steward of your body. You're a steward of things that are already created, and you didn't create any of those things. But look over here in John chapter 1, and I want to put some things together tonight that, I don't know, I had never thought about until I did this study, but I think they're kind of interesting. John chapter 1 and verse 1. Jesus Christ as the Creator. John chapter 1 verse 1. And really, John chapter 1, there's so much good in-depth stuff about Jesus Christ here. It's something else. John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ. Before his name is Jesus Christ. That's who he is in heaven. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I'm going to stop there because that just describes Jesus Christ's work prior to showing up in his creation. That's Jesus Christ as the creator of all things. He's the instrument of creation. Now, you go on to read in John chapter 1 that he's the life and light, and men did something with that light. They rejected that light. And if you remember, you go all the way back to Genesis, Jesus Christ, after the creation, after he forms man in his image and all that kind of stuff, you've got this other creature, the devil, who shows up in the creation, and he tempts man, and he gets man to sin, and so sin enters into this world, sin enters into creation that God made. And so after sin enters this creation, look over in John chapter 1, verse 10. It says, he, that's Jesus Christ, the Word, was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's a pretty dark verse. That the creator of all things showed up in his creation, and his creation didn't recognize him, didn't care for him, didn't want anything to do with him. The reason was, and just to briefly go over this, the reason was, of course, that sin had entered into the world. The devil, that fallen cherub, had introduced sin into the world. Pride had entered into him. He looked at himself in Ezekiel, and according to Ezekiel, and he thought he was something he wasn't. And that pride entered into him, and that sin that entered into the devil, he passed on to the world, and he created a world after his kind of his own image. And he became the chief influence of the world that Jesus Christ had created. And so, with that all done, then Jesus Christ, and this is where I had never thought about this before, but the reason Jesus Christ is the person in the Godhead that shows up to refashion man and to become the new man is because he is the creator of all things. And when sin entered the world, every human being would be in the image and in the fallen state of Adam. There was no way that man could get back to where he had fallen from. We say, okay, well, you know, they did some good stuff in the Old Testament and some people obeyed the law. They did trust God, but nobody, there was no way to recover what had been lost. And so, if you remember, and this is just to cover a whole lot of territory here, everybody that trusted in what God said, they were put into a place called the paradise, and they were held there until a way could be made back to the restoring what was lost. And so the person of the Trinity, the person in the Godhead that was going to recreate man, is the one who originally created man, if that makes sense. You got verses in the New Testament that describe in Jesus Christ is a new creature. He's going to create a new man now. And so the Word, look in John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now this is something that maybe you've thought of it before. I'd never thought of it. The Creator, who created all things, had watched his creation, and not the earth necessarily, but the people. The people had fallen, and so when the people fell, there was no man that was satisfactory or that could accomplish or could do or could recover from the fall that Adam had introduced into this humanity. So the Creator that created all things enters into his creation to recreate man, if that makes sense. So now he's going to be born as a man, and he's going to make a what Paul is going to call a new man. He's going to be the last Adam. And it would only make sense that it would be the Word of God to do this, because it was the Word of God, capital W in John chapter 1, that originally created everything. And so now there's no way to fix this. So the Word that created everything is going to enter back into his creation and create now a new man. I hope this is making sense to you. I mean, that's what he's doing. And it makes sense. It's not the Holy Ghost coming to create a way. It's not the Father coming down to create a way. It's the Creator who created all things coming down to create now a way that man could recover from the fall. So here's some verses that you read about. Look in John chapter 11, verse 25. These are probably pretty familiar verses, but you read them in this context or this light, and it just, to me, it really stands out to me. John chapter 11, verse 25. So this is Lazarus dies. Mary and Martha say to Jesus, you know, if you had been here, our brother wouldn't have died. John 11, 25. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is the Creator who had created life originally. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is the Creator in flesh and blood. And he's saying, look, Mary says, well, we know he'll raise up. We know Lazarus is going to raise up on the last day. And Jesus Christ says, no. Resurrection is not a day. Resurrection life is a person. It's not a time frame. Judgment isn't it will be a time frame, it will be a day, but judgment, but life, resurrection, those things are a person. And it's the one talking to him. It's Jesus Christ, who was the Word, who had created all these things, and now entered into his creation to recover what was lost. And Mary's just like, you know, if you would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection, I am life. And being at the funeral and all that stuff, and seeing, you know, the family crying and all that kind of thing, and Jesus Christ, the Bible says Jesus wept and all that. And then just to show, just because he had compassion on him, he just goes ahead and raises up Lazarus. Just to show him, look, I am life. I created all of this life. I'm here to recover what's lost, what's been lost. And the only way to recover that is to create a new man, which is Jesus Christ. He's the new man. Look at it again. Look over in, you don't have to look at this one. You know this verse. Jesus saith unto him, John 14, 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is the Creator, the Word, capital W, of God, entering into his creation and explaining to people, look, I am the one who is going to recreate now a way to recover what's been lost. And it just makes sense it would be the Word of God to do it, because the Word of God is the Creator of all things. So he creates everything originally, and now in the fall of man, he's got to recreate some things or create something new in order to recover man. Look at this one. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So when Colossians says this, while you're going there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, when Paul says in Colossians, by him were all things created. And he describes things in heaven, things in earth, things visible, things invisible, and he covers everything. That's not just describing a historical event in Genesis 1. That's also describing the entrance of the Creator as a man to recreate a new man. And so you'll read about a new man. I'll show you some verses on that. But look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. That is the Creator, the Word, who has created now a new man, called a new creature. It says, old things are passed away. That was what he came to do. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Look in verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That describes the work of Jesus Christ, who was the Word of God, who created all things and then entered into his creation to fix all things by becoming a new man, a last Adam. Look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. Galatians 6:15. Galatians 6:15 says this, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. So the Creator, the Word of God, creates all things. And historically, I'd read that verse, Colossians 1:16, and say, oh, okay, that applies to Genesis 1. And yeah, he's the Creator. You go back to Genesis 1, he created all things. He did. He created all things. What's interesting, though, is when humanity fell, he entered back into his creation to recreate man. Now he's a new man. And now he offers life to anyone who will come to him and say, all right, you who are in Adam, you are in Adam, but I'm going to offer you this. You can be in me now. And you can have life in me. That same Creator, the Word of God, enters in as Jesus Christ to recreate a man that will not fail like Adam, that will make a way to God the Father. All right, here's another one. Not only does the Creator, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, make a way to reconcile, to bring things right with God again. Not only does he make a way to escape judgment, to enjoy his creation like he originally wanted mankind to, he also, in the process of doing that, he shows mankind how to properly use his mind, his body, and the things he's given to mankind, if that makes sense. So here it's like the maker of the manufacturer of some piece of equipment, and or the inventor of some piece of equipment, and you got these guys kind of fumbling around trying to figure the thing out, and the guy who made it shows up and he says, look, this is how you use this thing. This is how this works. This is how this works. This is where this goes. This is how this fits here. And so in the process of creating a new man, a last Adam, a new creature, he's also showing man how to function in his body and his mind and all that thing. Look over in Ephesians. Let me show this to you. Maybe it'll make more sense. You read these verses. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. Ephesians 3:8, Paul says it this way. It says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God." Now, just to make a side note here, the world and the earth are not the same thing. The earth is the physical creation, but the rocks and the mountains and the sea and the oceans, those aren't fallen things. Man is the thing that fell. And so the world and the earth are separate things. That's a good study, but just to put that thought in your mind, think about it. Verse 9, "To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Well, there's a lot there, but you notice all things are created in Jesus Christ. He is the instrument of all creation. And anytime God wanted to create something, it was going to be created in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ creates everything you see. And then when man falls, Jesus Christ enters back into his creation to recreate a man that is acceptable to God. Because there's no people, there's no person acceptable to God. And in the process of recreating a man that is acceptable to God, he puts on display how the body, the mind, the eyes, the ears, how all of that stuff was supposed to function originally. Of course, it's in the context of a sinful world and all that, but look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 21. Maybe it'll be a little more clear to you. Ephesians 4, 21. "If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man," that's all that stuff in Adam, "put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." And he'll describe the contrast in the next few verses. But he's describing the work of Jesus Christ, the new man, the creation of a new man, a new creature that is acceptable to God, that is a human being. And it's no wonder the creator of all things entered back into his creation to create something that is acceptable to God now. I'll just give you a couple of these things. 1 John, I'll just read this one to you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life," capital W, the word of life, "for the life," listen to this one, "for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us." That's the Word of God. That's Jesus Christ taking on a human body and recreating man in the way that God would have man to be. And John says, we are witnesses of this. We touched him. We heard him. We were around him. And that man is the embodiment of eternal life. He is the embodiment of life itself. He is the creator of all life. Interesting, when Jesus Christ says, I'll give you a couple more real quick. Jesus Christ as the creator, in Colossians, he says, created all things in heaven and earth and all that stuff. Jesus Christ told the disciples one time in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. That's Jesus Christ building, making a place. Jesus Christ is author, also in Hebrews, he's described, he says he's the author and finisher of our faith. He is the creator of all things. Last thing, look over in Revelation 19. Revelation 19, and we'll wrap it up with these two verses here. Revelation 19, 11. Revelation 19, 11, and it says, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and all that. You know the rest of the story. King of kings, Lord of lords, comes back into his creation as not the Lamb of God this time, not as the one who would submit himself to the will of the Father and recreate man in the image that God would want man to be in. But now he's going to return in glory and take over all of his creation, subdue the creation as the king. Then in Revelation 21, it says this, verse 5. He that sat upon the throne, this is describing Jesus Christ. He's put on a throne, Revelation 20 and 21, and then He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. That's some good stuff. Looking forward to that time. But Jesus Christ, when Paul describes Jesus Christ in Colossians 1:16 as by him were all things created in heaven, in earth, visible, invisible, principalities, powers, all that kind of stuff. Jesus Christ is the instrument of God's creation, not only in Genesis chapter 1, but also in John and Mark and Luke and Matthew, and the creator shows back up in his creation to recreate man in the image that God would want man to be, that God wants man to be in. And he's acceptable to God the Father. And so Jesus Christ, it's no wonder, and I hope this makes some sense to you, but it's no wonder that it was the Word of God that showed back up to create new things. It's no wonder, because he was the one that created all things to begin with, and he is the instrument of creation. So all that was created in the beginning was created by him, and all new things would be created by him as well. He's just the instrument of creation. Not just the instrument, but he's the instrument of creation. So when God creates something, it's in Jesus Christ, and anything outside of Jesus Christ is not going to have life. Anything inside Jesus Christ is going to have life. And so, anyhow, I just wanted to show you those things about Jesus Christ being the creator. And I know you understand it, but the Bible does not leave any room at all to think that Jesus Christ was, you know, a good teacher or anything like that. Jesus Christ is so far above that. He is the creator, not only in Genesis 1, but he's also the Word of God that showed back up in the flesh to create a new man. And that everyone in that new man is a new creature. And everyone outside of that new man is an old creature. And if you're outside of Christ, there's death. Inside of Jesus Christ, there's life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so Jesus Christ is the instrument of creation, just as Paul describes him in Colossians chapter 1:16. He is the instrument of creation, the Word of